stand and turn to Genesis chapter 15. We'll start reading in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it into him for righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for the spirit we feel. Lord, we're so unworthy, God. Lord, we don't even deserve to be in your presence, God, but you're here, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just use this time, God, that, Lord, something to be said, Lord, to just help us to leave a little bit closer. Lord, a little bit different, a little bit more thankful, God, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So several months ago, I was riding to work or coming home from work, and I had my music playing, and a song came on by the Wistons. And it started out talking about Abraham, and it was saying that, you know, the Lord told Abraham that you don't have many children. He said, and he took him outside, and you know, this is a vision, but it said that the Lord took him outside, and he said, look up at the stars. He said, if you can count those stars, that's how many children you don't get. Wow. You know, there's a lot of stars in the sky. That's what he told him. So we go here, and we see this was in Genesis 12. He told him that you can, that it's going to be, he's going to give the land to his seed. Genesis 13, he's going to give his seed's going to exceed the dust of the earth. You know, I'm sure that 25 years Abraham was going to wait for this blessing is what we don't find out as we go through here. And I'm sure there's many nights Abraham went outside. You know, he didn't have all the street lights we have. Down where I live, it's dark. All the street lights you have is mine and my mama's outside lights. And you can go outside and you can just see stars everywhere. And you can just look up and you can just think about how good God is. You know, I'm sure there was many times that Abraham went outside and he thought, God's promised me. You know, it said in verse 6, it says, he counted it for righteousness. He counted it that it was going to happen. You know, that's what we need to do here tonight. We need to count some things that are going to happen. The Bible says that in Isaiah, now he had to wait a long time. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts or higher than your thoughts. In Acts chapter 3, there's a man. The Bible says that they brought him to the temple every day and set him there, and he waited for people to come by and beg of alms. The Bible doesn't specify how long this man had to come. They brought him every day. They were faithful. You know, we're not that faithful. We won't even bring ourselves sometimes, and we can walk. We won't get up and do for ourselves, but this man had people bringing him. And finally, one day, Peter came by, and Peter told him, Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He got up and walked. Many years, but what if impatience would have set in with them that brought this man to Jesus? We know, or if we've been in church for a while, we know if you read over in chapter 16 of Genesis, just one chapter over, after God's given Abraham this great blessing that you don't have all this, the devil moves in a little bit. And Sarah, she's wanting to provide for Abraham. We know that Sarah was barren, and she gave her handmaid, Hagar, to Abraham. And she told him, look, you can go with her, and y'all can have a kid. You know, Hagar didn't have any say-so in the matter. She was a servant, and we know that servants, they don't have a lot of say-so over what they get to do. So that happened. They end up conceiving. You know what? But God used Hagar. If you read chapter 16, verse 10, Hagar has been run away because Sarah was aggravated. She was jealous. She didn't like seeing Hagar pregnant, if you will, or expecting. Maybe that's a more political correct term. And they sent her away. The Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar. You know what? You know what the angel of the Lord told Hagar? He told her the same thing he told Abraham. He said, the angel of the Lord appeared to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. I'm not saying that we need to have lots of kids. You know what? Our blessings are just overflowing. Jeannie and David just sat up here and sang about it, You know, our blessings are just overflowing. And that's how I want us to apply this to our lives. In Psalm 103, it's about a 21-verse psalm. David wrote, Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know what? There's some benefits we get from serving the Lord. And he lists them out there. There's bunches. Some of them he repeats. But we just don't go over a few of them. One thing we get is forgiveness. You know what? Our sins are removed from far as the east is from the west. We all know that if we just start traveling east, eventually, you know, we don't have to go through the ocean and all that thing. Eventually, we don't start going west. That's how far God loves us. That's how much he loves us, that our sins are forgiven. He gives us healing. There's many, 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 many examples in this Bible about healing. I thought about blind Bartimaeus. Couldn't see a lick. You know what? The Lord touched him. You know, you think about the four friends that brought their friend to Jesus. They tore the roof off and they lowered him down. You know what? He was healed. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, you know, much like Abraham and Sarah had to wait on their kid. This woman had been sick for 12 years. She knew if she could get to Jesus that he would touch her. So we have healing. We also have his, he redeems us from our life, from destruction. You know, once he saves us, think about all the things he saved you from. What destruction you could have did to your life. His mercies are new every day. And if you read this psalm, when you go home tonight, read Psalm 103. It says his mercies are new every day, and it says they're plenteous. They never run out. We serve a God who can just give and give and give and give and give. It never runs dry, and that's what's amazing about him. He renews us every day. You know, we might be fatigued. We might be tired. The world might wear us down. Sometimes life stinks. We just all know it. Sometimes we get sick of digging pools, and they don't go right, but you know what? There's another day coming because his mercies are new every day. You know, he's compassionate to us like our earthly fathers are compassionate to his children. All us dads in here, we would do anything in the world for our children. You know, that's how God is. You know, the prodigal father, you know, he waited on his son to come home. He gave him the robe. They killed the best calf. He fell on him. He loved him. And that's how God is to us. You know what? He's also prepared a place for us in heaven. He said, if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you into yourself. And then that psalm, it sums up with loving kindness. You know, that's just all those things. God's mercies, his blessings are just overabundantly so good to us. You know what? We need to count the stars no matter the circumstance. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are sitting in prison. We get down to about verse 37, and Paul says that they beat us uncondemned without finding us guilty. You know, they didn't do anything to deserve this. They're just serving the Lord. They're singing the praises, and they got beat down. You know, sometimes we gotta count stars when things are not going our way. You know, sometimes when life stinks, like I said, you know, we just gotta count stars. You know. We were in the hospital years ago. And, you know, I'm sure Mama had already came and left with Gabrielle and Madeline. And, you know, it was always a joy to watch them leave. We were on the front of the hospital, so they would leave. You know, we would walk them down, and we'd go back up there and sit. We'd sit in the window and watch them leave. And Mama would drive out of the parking lot. They'd come around. They'd be hanging out, waving. But, you know, we were sitting there one day. Just me and Dusty. Charlie's got tubes running everywhere. And you know, she had fluid building up, and the doctor said, you got to get that fluid out. You got to get that fluid out. And Miss Patty, the nurse, would come in there, and she said, you got to beat her back. And oh, she would beat her back. I'm thinking, oh, she's going to kill her. I thought she was going to kill her, and she'd make us hold her. And you know, we would do it like this. She said, no, you got to beat her back. And you know, we're doing all that. And we're just sitting there. And you know, you prayed, you've done all you can do. And I get on Facebook and I look. And Dusty had made a post. I didn't know she'd made it. She's sitting across the room. I'm just in a rocking chair, just sitting there looking. And Dusty wrote a post, and it said, I've just come into a valley, one like I've never been before. It seems like padlocks are on the door, and she typed out that whole song, God will make this trial a blessing. And I thought, wow. You know, I didn't say anything to her. We're just sitting there, and tears are rolling. But you know, as I found this, you know, as I saw this, I thought, wow. You know what she's doing? She's counting stars. She knows that a blessing's coming. You know, it took some time, and you know, you become bitter when you're in there, because here we are, and we're in there, and there's two other babies born at the same time. They got the same thing going on with them, but they're doing so much better, and you know, they're not churched, and you're thinking, God, why are they doing so much better? I just don't get it, you know, and they're moving on, and there we sit, but you know, now I look at her and I'm thinking, wow, you know, God made it a blessing. He really did. It was just so amazing during that time. You know, and the Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, it don't say thanking for the good things. It says in everything. You know, during that time, Dusty just giving thanks. You know, that's all she was doing. You know, we had a baby. It wasn't what we expected, but she was giving thanks. You also got to count the blessings when the blessing comes. You know, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for that blessing. I'm sure that when they found out they were going to have that baby by this time, Sarah was 90 years old. Abraham was 99 when they got the announcement. I'm sure they thought, wow, it's finally coming. I'm sure the night that Isaac was born, Abraham probably went outside. He probably sat down, and I bet he looked up and he said, yeah, I counted you faithful. You were faithful, Lord. I'm just thankful. You know, the Bible says over and over again, although he had Ishmael, the son with Hagar, the Bible says over and over again, his only son. You know, that was the promise. Isaac was the promise for him, not Ishmael. So every day, he was thankful. I read a story. It was about these three brothers. These three brothers lived up in Mount Airy, North Carolina, like in the 30s, 40s, and 50s of the 1900s for you young people. Their names were Russell, James, and Ed. Russell, James, and Ed, they loved bluegrass music. They started playing in the honky-tonks, the beer joints, and they started very young. By the time they were old enough to drive, all three of them were alcoholics. Russell got so sick on some alcohol that was something wrong with it that it almost took his life. He almost died. Because of this, he found a girlfriend. They got married. She got him in church. They ended up moving to Danville, Virginia, and they actually took Ed with them. Ed went to live with them. James left back in Mount Airy, North Carolina by himself. He really got mixed up with the wrong crowd. He started stealing cars. And because he stole cars, they caught him. They put him in jail. The judge didn't think it was funny that he was stealing these cars to go joyriding. So the judge sent him to 10 years and gave him a felony sentence. Well, when he was first in prison, they had this preacher to come to the mess hall to do a sermon. This young man didn't know anything about God. He'd never been to church. He hadn't heard that Jesus loves him. And he sat in the back with his buddy. They said they sat in the back because they didn't want the preacher looking at them. And he said that partway through the sermon, the preacher looked straight at him and said, "Son," he had tears in his eyes. He said, "Somebody loves you." James sort of poked his buddy that William just kidding me, saying, "He must have talked to my mama." Well, James didn't get saved. Anyway, he was in jail for a little bit longer, and you know, he ended up, some people were picking on him or being mean to him, so somebody gave him a knife. This guy came in one night to beat him up, and he cut the guy, made him bleed, so he left the next night. Or a few days later, this guy came back. He brought a buddy with him, and This big old man came in behind him and run both of them out. Well, James had good behavior. He didn't spend the whole 10 years in prison. He only spent 5 years. When he got out of jail, he ended up moving to Danville with his brother where they were at. Anyway, in the meantime, he couldn't get what the preacher said that night in the mess hall off his mind. Somebody loves you, boy. He stumbled into a church one Sunday, one day, and you know what? He got saved. And you know, by this time, he had a wife. He had a young kid. They were living in an apartment, a two-room house they were renting for $10 a month. And he thought, wow, there's got to be something. You know, he at this point, he's feeling down. There's got to be more to it. You know what he did? He sat down one day, and he started writing a song. And you know what it was? We sung it over. He said, as the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone. You know, he'd been through it. He had never been raised in church, but here he is. He knew he could do something for God. He continued that whole song, and his brothers helped him put it to music. And they wrote the song that we sang a little bit ago. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know what he was doing? He was counting stars. You know, I know a lot of us have been through some things this year. You know, I know Miss Nancy just recently lost her sister. You know, I'm sure holidays are not going to be the same, you know, but Nancy put a great tribute to her sister on Facebook this week. And you know what? Nancy can look back, and those are her blessings for her sister. You know, I thought about Jamie and Haley and Kayla and Miss Betty and Terry and Tommy this week. You know, I know it hadn't been long since Shirley passed away. And, you know, Wednesday night, Jamie came in, her and Andrew actually matched with their jackets. Andrew had bought it, and Jamie got a jacket out of Shirley's closet. You know, Christmas ain't going to be the same. But you know what? They got a lot of great memories, and they can think about that, and that's their blessings. I know Betty probably lost her best friend. I remember me and Benji, when we were wrestling in the tag team champions of Antioch, we'd be in the yard wrestling, and Shirley would come in the yard and say, all right, I'm going down to see Betty. You know what? But Betty has these to look back on. You know, that's what's good about God. We can count our blessings. You know, he's given us that we can look back on. We can be so thankful. You know, we have healthy children now. We have wives. We have husbands that love us. You know, we have a good place to sleep. Here, that guy wrote that thing. He was living in a little two-room apartment, building, house, whatever it was. But yet he was thankful for what God had done for him. You know, and he was willing to tell the world. And, you know, that song was written like in the 50s. You know, it became popular in the 70s. So like for 60 years, that song's been sung over and over and over again, you know, just because he obeyed the Lord. Finally, you know, they've been a lot of songs wrote about that. You know, Michael Compton wrote, I have been blessed. But you know what? We have to count our blessings when he asks for something in return. They were given Isaac, and then just a few short years later, the Lord told him, I don't have to have Isaac for a sacrifice. Nowhere in there did I see Abraham complain. You know what he did? He said, all right, boy, let's go. They got up. They went to the mountain. And you know what? Because of his willingness, because of his devotion to the Lord provided a ram, and he didn't have to give Isaac up. So you know what I want us to do? You know, our response needs to be, you know, we need to thank God for our salvation. Every day we need to thank God. We need to thank God that we've been blessed. Heather, if you'll come on. Heather's going to sing Counting Her Blessings. You know, we just need to be thankful. If y'all stand.